Howdy-do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Monday. It is the 24th of January, 2022. I know what day is it today is the quality content you are all here for, so I'm happy to give it. And with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
That's why I'm here. I don't have a clue unless I'm on the show.
Honestly, even when I read it off, like an hour from now, I won't have any idea what day it is. So thank you, time and date in the corner of my screen, for making that easy. I'm glad you're here, even if you don't know that it's Monday, mostly because we have a couple of interesting things to talk about that are things that you covered for us over on MacObserver.com. And the first of which is that the UK Apple Store regulations, like the procedures they have in place for pandemic times, are changing.
Well, have changed. Yeah, absolutely.
Have changed. Okay.
So I reported last week, exclusively last week, I think it was Thursday, I published my story that starting Saturday, as in the Saturday we just had, some of the COVID procedures that have been in place in the UK are being phased out. And that was going to start on Saturday. And it's, you know, proceeding through to next week, as it said then. So, you know, taking place over these days.
Yeah.
And so the procedures were, and I tested out an Apple Store myself, and I heard people in touch with me telling me the same thing. Basically, whatever you wanted to do in an Apple Store required a pre-booked appointment, a queue, or both.
Okay.
So we're all accustomed to, for example, having to pre-book a Genius Bar appointment. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we've become, and again, I reported on this when I picked up a couple of different Apple products, having to book a slot to pick up an item you've already bought from Apple. If you order on apple.com, you tell them which Apple Store you want it sent to, you go pick it up at the allotted time.
Yes.
And often that means it comes quicker than it being delivered to your home. This is obviously particularly easy for me as I live in London and there are multiple Apple Stores I can get to. But the thing that changed, and I started seeing complaints about this on Twitter and spoke to people about it and, you know, had friends who had had this experience and, you know, all this kind of thing, was that you even had to book in recent times to just basically browse, just to go shopping it almost.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you basically couldn't get into an Apple Store without an appointment. And even if you didn't have an appointment, you had to queue to browse. I think that's a more accurate way to describe it. So I went to the Apple Store to test this out. I went to the flagship Apple Store in London on Regent Street in the centre of London.
Yes.
And was, you know, there was the usual Apple Store staff was in the security guard there. And they all very politely told me, asked me what I wanted to do and told me if I wanted to browse, pop into this queue. And, you know, it's no great hardship. There was a bit of a queue and it looked like it would probably move relatively quickly. But, and it was clearly, and I dug around, and it was clearly a move to limit the number of people around a store in an internal place. But the funny thing about it was there was nothing in the government guidance, certainly in England, that required Apple to do this. This was Apple's choice. The only thing that was required was that people wear a mask. That, you know, in terms of government regulations and guidance. And no other stores on again on Regent Street, one of London's busiest stores, were requiring this. I went into the Microsoft store, which is just a few shops up the road, and was allowed straight in. But that's also maybe because there wasn't really anyone else in there, apart from the staff. But anyway, my point is this was an Apple choice and an Apple directive and a decision. And we can all draw our own conclusions about why they may have made those decisions. But anyway, that's what it was. And that is started being phased out on Saturday. And you know, I had a look at the Regent Street store webpage today, and it now says, we are open and look forward to welcoming you. Shop by walking in, reserve a one-to-one session with a specialist, or buy online and pick up in-store. Get support at the Genius Bar in-store by making a reservation. So clearly that has now loosened and Anyway, yeah. So that is what it was. Kind of interesting to watch Apple take its own lead, and in some way, yeah, that was interesting to watch that take place.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that it's been that it's shifting, especially like for in places where that's possible. So I think there's probably a lot of up and down here as well in the US as far as which stores you can get into at all versus maybe mm-hmm. you need a mask and an appointment like you used to, or maybe it's just walk straight in, you know, kind of depending where you are. So I can't say that this experience is going to happen for everybody, but
no, this was very UK specific, this story.
Yeah. I look forward to the day when that can be a thing, but we're definitely not there yet. So we'll see how that goes. And as that changes, of course, we will update you over at MacObserver.com and let you know
how it's going. I should actually note, looking at this webpage, it says still at the time we're recording this show, face masks will be provided. Well, that makes sense because at the moment that's still required in the UK and England. Mm-hmm. It says they're limiting store occupancy. I don't quite know what that means, but that's what it says.
Yeah.
Physical distancing, again, that's the point that's not required by any guidance anymore in England. And continuous deep cleaning. Well, I like to go into clean places, so fine. I should also say that there's slightly different rules across different bits of the UK. But it seems that Apple will you may slightly see that reflected in your Apple store experience, you know, the difference between England and Wales or England and Scotland perhaps. Mm-hmm. But as a general rule, those kind of precautions that I describe in the story and that I experience are apparently look like they're being phased out.
Okay, good to know. And yeah, like I said, I look forward to when that sort of thing can happen here as well, so we'll see. And thank you, Charlotte, for that story, because nobody else had it. And that was an exclusive report over on our website. So well done, you. So before we move on to our next topic, I would like to take a minute and talk to you about our sponsor this week, who is Nomad. Now, Nomad Goods started as a Kickstarter project in 2012 to build tools for the 21st century. If they sound familiar, it's because we've talked about them on the show, because I really like them. And they're based in Santa Barbara, California, and they make mobile accessories like iPhone cases. They make cases for other phones, too. They make Apple Watch straps, and they also make chargers, all of which I really like, as you know, and most of which are things I use myself day to day. You can get wireless charging solutions for your desk or for your nightstand to make charging easier, and it looks a little nicer. And because the Nomad crew was tired of flimsy cables that fell apart all the time, they built their own with Kevlar around the outside, and these are solid cables. If you like leather, Nomad uses Horween leather, which smells almost as good as it looks, and the patina looks fantastic on your case or on your watch band. Nomad is also a certified climate neutral brand, so as you can see, there are a lot of reasons why I could like them. You can check out Nomad at nomadgoods.com/TDO to see what living the Nomad life is all about. That's nomadgoods.com/TDO. Like to thank Nomad for sponsoring the show today. Now, Charlotte, your next story is also an interesting one because it's about the head of PR.
Yeah, quite a big job at Apple. Again, this was the end of last week, January the 20th, Thursday. It was all going on Thursday, but that day, BuzzFeed News picked up that Apple had named Christine Huguette as its new head of PR. She, not surprisingly, is an Apple lifer, been there since 2005. She has been involved in things like when the Apple was around with the FBI over iPhone encryption. Do you remember those incidents? There's a few others. Yeah. She's been involved in very high profile PR and public, you know, issues with Apple. So been at the heart of many of those things. So not a particularly surprising appointment. The surprising element in some ways to this story is that she is replacing someone who has only been in the role for 8 months, is Stella Lowe, who came in from Cisco in May 2021 and is now apparently leaving to spend more time with her family. So being a shift at the top of Apple PR, It's just interesting to me that whatever happens, Apple seems to go back to these people that have been in the company for years and years and years. You know, we saw Angela Arendt's, you know, change things up and shake things up for a bit, and now it's back to Deirdre O'Brien. We're seeing the same in PR. When Steve Jobs left, they didn't appoint someone external. Obviously, they appointed someone Steve picked from inside. There's lots of examples of this in all levels of the Apple executive chain.
There are
where this is happening. And it's worth noting actually that Christian Huguet will report directly to Tim Cook.
Okay, so part of what was interesting about this to me was I remember because as we discussed before the show. I said I thought that we had reported this already, actually we had, but what I was thinking of was last spring when they had hired the last person. And so,
right, exactly.
Yeah. So it's just been a turnover situation there. And so that's kind of interesting. I'm curious what this means going forward. Usually a new head of PR, a new head of anything, I mean, for the most part, will mean the direction shifts a little bit, or, you know, how they operate might change, things like that. And I'm curious to see if this is going to make anything any different. And I know we've definitely talked about some things that Apple has done in the last year or so that were either, you know, not a very good look, or just sort of seemed like the PR response to it wasn't maybe what it should be, or the manner to which we had become accustomed, I guess, is probably the best way to put that.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? Because you're right to reflect on those incidents, and there's a few we could pick out, both good and bad, frankly. You know, good responses to things, bad responses to things, good proactivity, bad proactivity, whatever.
Yeah.
To me, what's the real core of this story, I think, and the more I've thought about it over the last few days, the more that stuck with me, is that, as I say, whatever happens, Apple comes back to its lifers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And it knows what it wants. It knows how things should be done the Apple way. And people, well, look, we do not know the specifics of this change, really. We can speculate. All we have, as I say, on the record is that, you know, Stella Lowe's leaving. Came from Cisco in May 2021, leaving to spend time with her family. Someone who's been there since 2005 is getting the top job in PR and reporting to Tim Cook. That's all we know. But it seems a not unreasonable jump to make that they've gone, well, let's go to a tried and tested person who knows the quote unquote Apple way.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, sometimes, you know, for example, when we've talked about things like the Apple Car and also TV and TV production, they've needed to bring in outsiders to shake things up and tell them how to do a new thing.
Well, new to Apple. Like, you know, that's the thing about breaking into something established, is like they need somebody to tell them about how TV works or how auto production works. And
precisely.
Yeah. And getting those people in.
Apple has obviously had a very big and very successful PR operation for a number of years. And obviously, in this case, they want someone who's been embedded in that. Is that the right way to put it? You know, I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
kind of. I think that's interesting that's what they've done. The same, as I say, they did with the stores.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, I think, how this evolves over time. And if we get a lot more... if we get a lot of change out of it rapidly, we may or we may not, depending. So I don't think this is going to be something where, like, Tim Cook comes out and now says, you know, here's everything we're working on for the next 6 months or anything like that. But I definitely, there'll be a shift, I think.
Or will that? Will it be reverting to type? You know, was the fact that the predecessor wanted to change things again? This is wild speculation. I haven't had a chance to report this out or into it at all, but you know, was part of the problem that Stella Lowe wanted to change things, Apple decided they didn't, so she's left and they brought in someone that does it the Apple way? That is one play.
That's entirely possible, and we'll go back to just not hearing much of anything officially from Apple.
Right. Yeah. You know, that's as plausible as, you know, actually, this was a great job. It was a great 8 months, but now I've realized I want to do this with my family.
Yeah.
Or, you know, all different things.
Or somewhere, you know, it may land somewhere in between, you know, yeah. And we'll never find out.
Usually does.
Yeah.
But I think if you're hoping for big, bold, transparent Apple.
No.
I feel
it's good to want things, and I admire your optimism.
Yeah, I feel like this is not the appointment that's going to shift things in that direction.
I don't either. But I think maybe going back to keeping a little lower profile, at least in the short term, might make everybody there a little happier. We'll have to see.
Possibly. Very possible.
Yeah. You never know. That's actually going to do it for us today. As we find out more, obviously you will find out about that over at MacObserver.com. You will probably find it out from ace reporter Charlotte Henry, who gets to the bottom of all of this stuff for us. And Charlotte, thanks so much for coming by to talk to me about it today.
Tries to get to the bottom. We'll keep trying. Yes, thank you for having me.
Glad you're here. And also, if you get an opportunity, you should definitely be listening to Charlotte's show Media Plus, which is also here on the Mac Observer podcast network. I guess we can call it that because there's two of them. So we'll go with that.
We've got a fun show coming up out tomorrow when you'll be listening to this. So the Tuesday, looking ahead at all the fun stuff we've got coming up on TV Plus in 2022.
Yeah, that's going to be great. And I'm your host, Kelly Gamont, for the Daily Observations podcast. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other. Let's be careful out there.